You're listening to The Bill Riley Show, presented by Shields on the home of the Utes. With the voice of the Utes, with the best guests on the hill, you must be a Utes fan. Here's Bill Riley on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
I hope you guys enjoy the Scott Mitchell segment as much as I do every week. Scott and I were just talking about this. We literally just come in without a huge game plan, couple of ideas, and we talk about stuff. So I hope you like it. It's a pleasure for me to be able to talk to him and all his different experiences. I'm really lucky in that, and he's great storyteller. Got a lot to offer, and I'm glad he's part of our family here at ESPN 700 now. He's such a font of information at the quarterback spot and college football and all that good stuff. And I just tweeted out his Twitter link. Give him a follow at 19 Scott Mitchell. He's a good dude, and he'll interact with you too. So anyway. We were talking college football, and here we're going to talk college football right now. The preseason magazine season has kicked off officially. Our friends at Athlon Sports are generally about the first ones out with their college football preview magazines, and this year no different. It's out on newsstands now, and you can probably find it online as well. One of their managing editors to talk some college football with us here on The Bill Riley Show, Mitch Light. How are you, Mitch?
Bill, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Doing really well. It's a good day here in Salt Lake City, and I just spent the last hour with former Utah quarterback, former Lions and Dolphins quarterback Scott Mitchell, talking some college football. I figured we'd talk a little college football with you as well. So give folks an idea. I saw a lot of the stuff online over the weekend, so I'm assuming the preseason mags. You guys usually hit the newsstands late May, early June, right?
Yeah, in fact, today is our official on sale date, May 24th. I've been here 15 years. Wow, 15 years, and we would always come out Memorial Day weekend. And last year, we moved it up a week, much to the chagrin of my staff. But they don't ask me that; they just tell me when to get them done. So now we're a week earlier. So you can buy them online at athlonsports.com/store. Or should be out almost everywhere, you know, newsstands, grocery stores, all that stuff today.
So, you guys,
the printed product is out.
Yeah, you guys do the regional covers. I'm assuming you've got a Pac-12 or at least West Coast kind of regional cover that will involve the University of Utah, correct? Or BYU,
yes,
Utah, or the Pac-12?
And, yeah, every team's on the cover. In fact, this year Washington has its own cover, Washington State, Oregon State. UCLA and USC share a cover. Stanford and Cal share a cover. The Arizona schools share a cover. And obviously BYU is not in the Pac-12, but we have a BYU cover as well with Utah.
So as we look at things, I saw some of the numbers. Who right now does Athlons really like? It looked like you guys were pretty high on a team that I'm high on in the Pac-12 North, and that's the University of Washington. Were they the pick of the Pac-12 North?
Yeah, they were. And, you know, we try not to, you know, there's been some snarky comments on Twitter. Oh, yeah, Athlon jumping on that Washington bandwagon. You know how it is. People in the offseason start talking up a team, and then it's almost people kind of start going against that team because they're getting so much hype. And it was a combination of liking Washington and not really liking anyone enough. I think the Pac-12 is going to be interesting this year because I think there's going to be a lot of top 30, top 35 teams, but I don't know if there's a top 10 team. And, you know, we've got Washington at number 10, Stanford one spot behind them. I just liked, you know, if you look at a lot of the advanced stats, too, with Washington, they beat the teams they were supposed to beat convincingly, and they lost to some of their games very close, which those kind of indicate that you're ready to turn a corner. So you might not be impressed with their overall record, 7-6 last year, but I think they are poised to break out. Obviously, the true freshman quarterback in Browning. And Miles Gaskin is a guy that I think nationally no one really knows about, but he rushed for 100-plus yards. And I think all but three of their seven of their nine Pac-12 games, he was really good. And obviously, they've got a coach with a proven track record.
I can't believe that you thought Twitter was snarky, Mitch. That's not the Twitter I know. I've never noticed any snark. Or sarcasm on Twitter. What are you talking about? That doesn't happen,
you know,
does it?
It's funny. I started this in 2001. You know, the internet was obviously around then. Our magazines would come out and pre-social media. So we'd get some emails from angry fans, whatever. But you have to kind of make an effort to email someone. But now in the Twitter age and era, and you know, when I wake up in the morning, I just don't even want to look at my phone because, you know, we do five regional magazines. We do a national magazine. We do about between this and our pro magazine, we do about 1,000 pages, and mistakes happen. You know, we try to prevent it, but things happen. I just cringe almost every day when I get to work that someone's going to tweet at me, "You idiot, you left this guy off our right," whatever like that. So it's just it's the age we live in, and I appreciate all the passion for college sports because if it didn't exist, I probably wouldn't have a job.
Yeah, it's part of the price of doing business for guys like you and me. I do agree with your point, though. I don't know if I'd go so far as saying top 10, but I think the Pac-12 is going to cannibalize itself again this year.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of good teams and good parity, and that's good for the fans that come to the games because on given Saturdays, with maybe rare exceptions of a Colorado or somebody like that, there's no gimmies in the Pac-12 conferences, as Utah has found out over the last couple of years, and people playing Utah have found out the last couple of years. But I don't think you're out of line with that Washington pick. They're my dark horse to win the league overall. Stanford's very good. Everybody's got questions, it seems, coming in this year, and I think you're right. Top 10 to top 35, there could be 5, 6, 7 teams, but I think the Pac-12, at least today if we look at it, I don't think they're going to be in the Final Four this year.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of we got into our predictions meeting, and we go conference by conference, and then we talk about Final Four contenders or playoff contenders, and we really didn't throw a Pac-12 team in there. We just kind of like what we've both been saying. We think it's a good league, but I don't see how anyone gets through this unscathed without at least 2 losses. Now we could be talking in 6 months and Stanford could be undefeated, or you know, USC puts it all together. I just don't see that happening. And we do have Washington as our overall champ too, edging out UCLA in our predicted championship game. But I think it's good for the league. I think it's fun to watch. I mean, I think Oregon State's going to be bad again.
They are. Yeah.
They've got a good coach in place, but they're quite frankly going to be bad. Colorado is getting better. Cal's going to be interesting, you know, with Davis Webb, the addition, you know, that came out after our magazine went to press, and we probably would. I don't know if we would have picked them ahead of Washington State, but I think the gap, I think Cal is more in that top 35-ish range possibly than maybe in top 50, which we might have had them. And so I think it's going to be fun. The Arizona schools, who knows what to expect with those schools. You know, defensively, Arizona's been a mess. I'm a big Todd Graham fan, but they kind of took a step back in Tempe last year. So I think from afar, it's going to be a fascinating league to watch.
Well, you've talked about everybody, but the team that I broadcast for and that our station happens to carry, and that's the University of Utah. They had the second most wins in the conference a year ago. Now, they've got to replace a quarterback, but the defense, which was lights out, comes back pretty well. Kyle Whittingham's in place, and he's been very, very good there. You guys, I think, picked Utah third in the South, which I think, you know, you can make a case, I think, anywhere from 3-1. You had UCLA 1, USC 2, Utah 3. First, give me your thoughts on Utah and how you and your staff came about them being third, what you like about the Utes, and what maybe are the question marks right now.
Yeah, we got them third overall and 32nd. So, you know, I think 32nd, we'll be nice, call them fringe top 25 team. Any team that's, you know, maybe 10 spots out, you can call them a team that clearly could be a top 25 team. The thing that I like most about them, and that's before I, you know, was kind of doing a little refresher course because it's been about, you know, a few weeks before we put these magazines to bed. Now, I was looking at our unit rankings that we do. You know, we rank every, you know, unit in the league. And if you're going to start somewhere, you'll like to see Utah, at least according to us, number 2 offensive line in the league and the number 1 defensive line in the league. If that holds, you know you're not going to be bad if you're good on both lines of scrimmage. And, you know, I think they found a running back late in the year with Joe Williams. You know, his numbers were really good. And I like the fact that he was able to carry the ball like 85 times in the last 3 games. I think that was, you know, impressive. And, you know, I know the secondary is good. So we can say the defense is going to be really good. And, you know, you mentioned the quarterback situation. I think the team, if they can compete for a league title, if they get better quarterback play or a good, decent quarterback play and have some maybe, you know, wide receivers, you know, emerge as some playmakers. But it's kind of the DNA of this program has been run the ball, play good defense, and I see no reason why that won't be the case this year.
Mitch Leitz, our guest managing editor of Athlon Sports. Their preseason football mags hit the newsstands today, so if you want to go grab that early one, get a little reading in, feel free to do so. You mentioned quarterback play, and as much as we've loved Travis Wilson, he was a good kid who played very, very hard. The one thing that I think has held Utah back the last number of years is their inability to get the ball downfield. It wasn't Travis's strength. They've got 3 guys who, while inexperienced, from a talent standpoint and a potential standpoint, are all upgrades over Wilson. if they get better quarterback play, could you see them winning the Pac-12 South?
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of what we were talking about. And we had, full disclosure, I wasn't one of them, but we had one guy in our production meeting who's very knowledgeable, who was in our predictions meeting, who really wanted Utah, who thought Utah should be our pick. And, you know, we talk about it. We have five guys in that meeting. We go round and round because of what you mentioned earlier, Bill, about the question marks. I mean, UCLA is our pick. I think they could put it all together, but they lost a lot. They have some issues there. USC, who knows what to expect with a new coaching staff. And, you know, clearly they have talent, but they've underachieved. So it's not like in previous years where maybe there was an Oregon, I know obviously different division, but there was an Oregon or Stanford or on paper a top five team that you had to beat out. Utah does not need to be great to win the Pac-12 South. They just need, as we've been talking about, better play on offense, because it'd be very surprising if they're not one of the top defenses in the league.
Yeah, and Mitch, I'm with you on that. I like UCLA. They've got Rosen. Mora's got a lot. He's got to replace a lot, but he's recruited very, very well. I don't get the USC thing, people picking him necessarily, and you guys didn't, people picking him to win. You know, Helton's the coach, and he was on staff, but he went 5-4 after he took over the program last year. They came out of spring football without a definitive quarterback, and at USC that's almost inexcusable how you wouldn't have a quarterback ready to go. And they had to replace some guys too. So, I I'm not saying that there's always talent with SC, and I think sometimes they're a pick because they are USC, but to me, they got a lot of questions they've got to answer, including a new coaching staff and quarterback and things like that. So I much prefer either a Utah or a UCLA really in that top two over even USC.
Yeah, I'm with you. Real quick on UCLA, one thing I like about them going forward, well, first of all, they've got the quarterback in place in Josh Rosen. They had so many injuries on defense. They got guys coming back. You know, on one hand, you say, oh, they lose Miles Jack, but he only was there for, like a third of the season, so you can't really count him as a key loss. And Eddie Vanderdoes is a really good defensive lineman. He's coming back. So I think the combination of solid recruiting and some key guys coming back off of injury, I think they'll be really good. You know, we might be proven wrong, but I thought Clay Helton was a very uninspiring hire. You know, you're USC. You know, let's make a clean break and go out and get someone who hasn't been an interim coach here and maybe shake things up. But obviously they didn't do that. And again, for USC's sake, he's the right guy. Seems like a good dude, but kind of a puzzling hire right there at a school where you could go out and get almost anyone you want.
Well, what I didn't understand, and there was a lot that puzzled me about Pat Hayden, and there's probably a reason he's not the athletic director anymore. It's now another puzzling hire, Lynn Swann. But that aside, you know, Clay Helton wasn't going to be sought after on the coaching free agent market. I mean, you could have told Clay, hey, Clay, we like you an awful lot, and you are certainly in consideration, but, you know, we're going to do our due diligence and research, and you'll be given every chance to do it. I mean, you hired him before he even finished the year, and he ended up going 5-4. It wasn't like he finished the year 8-1 or 9-7 or 7-2 or something like that. So that's what puzzled me, is the fact that they didn't, you know, they're USC, and even if you love Clay Helton, you can still look around. He wasn't going anywhere.
Here's my take on stuff like that with coaching. Would you have been a candidate for the job in any way if you didn't have ties to the school? And the question there is no. And here, Paul Chryst at Wisconsin, you know, he was a former player there and an assistant there. They hired him after, I believe, two straight 6-6 regular seasons at Pitt. Would Paul Chryst have ever been a candidate for Wisconsin based on 2 6-6 seasons at Pitt? No, he would. So I think sometimes schools fall in love with the you know, he's got ties to the school or he's an assistant here. And, you know, Paul Chryst is turning out to be an okay hire. I think they're going to take a step back, and that's kind of the way I look at it for USC. There's no way they hire Clay Helton if Clay Helton's the interim coach at Georgia. I just think you have to go outside, and like you said, Bill, you owe it to your fans and your school to look outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, people are having a hard time with Washington, but if you look at all the programs, they probably have the fewest questions coming into the season because they're set at quarterback. Lost some talent to the NFL, but they bring back, as you mentioned, Gaskins and some very good players on defense, including, I think, Buda Baker's coming back.
Yep.
You know, Oregon's got to find another quarterback. You know, Vernon Adams, when he got healthy, was pretty good, but I don't think he was the guy that Oregon fans were sold. Maybe this kid, was it Dakota?
Prukop.
Maybe he's good. We'll see. you know, Stanford, normally I'd say nothing, but Stanford's got to find a guy too. And as much as, you know, a guy like Kevin Hogan was maligned, Kevin Hogan was a very good, solid quarterback. And so I just, you know, I think everybody has a lot of questions. I think Washington, maybe UCLA, but maybe Washington overall has the fewest questions.
Yeah, it's a safe pick, even though it kind of might surprise people who, you know, who haven't followed Washington closely. They, you know, I think that this sounds like such a cliche, Bill, but it's like there's a culture change, you know, going on with Peterson coming in, and he kind of weeded out some guys and played a lot of young guys, made the commitment to the young quarterback, Jake Browning, and I think they're really poised to break out. I think it's a very important year at Oregon. Kind of like talking about questionable coaching hires, I wasn't a big fan of the Mark Helfrich hiring. You know, they're set up now where they have enough momentum recruiting and they have enough of a name nationally where I don't think they're going to fall off the map. But I think clearly this is a program that's gone from top 10 to top 25. And if they go 8-4 or 7-5 this year, I think there could be some heat on Mark Helfrich because he clearly lost the momentum from the Chip Kelly era.
Well, yeah, and he lost Scott Frost to go to UCF, and Scott Frost, I think, was one of the driving forces behind that offense. So it'll be really interesting to see. I know he hired Brady Hoke, but they were a mess defensively last year. Utah sliced him and diced him for 62 up there. So I like Mark Helfrich. He's a nice guy, but I'm not sure if he is Chip Kelly, or even, I'm not even sure that he's Mike Bellotti at this point in time. I think he may be kind of riding the wave of great things, and in some ways Oregon recruits itself. So I'm with you. I think he's a good coach, but you're right. They've dropped off from being a top five program to probably being a top 15 or 20 program.
Yeah, and that's why this year is so important. He could prove his doubters wrong and jump up and win the Pac-12 North, and you could say, okay, you know, maybe he's the right guy for the job, but you know, a lot's been made about the quarterback situation, the fact that they've had 2 years in a row go the FCS route. And Vernon Adams, when he was healthy, he was pretty good last year. There's no guarantees that Dakota Pukop is going to be as good. And if he's not, you know, they don't have anyone proven that they're explosive on offense. I mean, Royce Freeman's great. They got some young the wide receivers coming back from injury. I just think of, you could almost say of all the teams in the country, all the programs, that, you know, this is just such a pivotal year for the future of this program.
Before I let you go, Mitch, and Mitch Light with us, managing editor for Athlon Sports, away from the Pac-12, big picture, you expect Alabama to be back there again, and Urban at Ohio State, those programs reload. Is there a team outside of those two? Who's Athlon's looking at or near the top? Is there a Clemson that makes a jump? Is there a Clemson-like team that makes a jump into that kind of group of Elite Four?
Well, our Final Four was, playoff predictions, we had Alabama 1, Florida State 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4. Deciding the Florida State-Clemson winner of the Atlantic Division, the ACC, was very difficult. We went back and forth, ended up going with Florida State. So there, you know, Tennessee is a team we're here in Nashville, Tennessee, that obviously I hear a lot about, but nationally is a team that could jump up. A lot of pressure on that program, too, because they let, you know, some big leads go away, some double-digit fourth-quarter lead. So there's a lot of mental baggage with Tennessee. But if they can kind of put that beside them, if they can get a big win over Florida, who they haven't beaten in 10 years early in the season, they could get it rolling. And I would not be surprised at all to see Tennessee in the national title picture. You know, outside of that, there's really not, you know, I would say Washington would be a surprise team, but, we've spent half the time talking about them so far.
Yeah, be anxious to see how all this off-season stuff impacts Baylor football moving forward, too. And if Art Briles, I know Ken Starr's out today, but will Art Briles remain as the head coach at Baylor moving forward?
Yeah, that's a tough situation, obviously. And sometimes without knowing all the facts, I mean, I read everything, I hesitate to say, oh, you know, got to fire that guy. You know, you need to clean house. But this seems to be one of those cases where the leadership of not only the university but the football program, can be called into question. You know, winning is very important, fortunately, however you want to say it. And it might be cynical of me, but I'd be very surprised if Art Briles loses his job over this, especially now with the news that Ken Starr is losing his job.
All right, go grab it. News stands today. We'll talk to you again later this summer, Mitch, but thanks for jumping on with us. Managing editor from Athlon Sports, Mitch Light. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Mitch Light. Follow him at Athlon Mitch.